Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Do you think gamers have aging eyes? Well, I don't know, but it's something to be concerned with or at least be interested in. I have with me a special guest today, Joshua Fielder, who is somebody who has one foot in each camp, the real and the virtual. And he knows gaming inside and out, and I'm delighted to have him with me. We've been friends for a number of years, and I know he's someone who likes to play games, even competitively, and he likes people who are overcoming challenges. So, Josh, tell us, what's a gamer, and what's been your history with this, so to speak, sport?
All right. Well, a gamer is anyone who likes to play a game. In today's society, we think of gamers as people who play video games, but honestly, a gamer can be someone who plays any game. Over the past 10 years, I'd say, people have been getting more concerned about the quality of games when it comes to the pixel quality displayed on your TV or the frame rate at which the games operate. So gamers are going to have a lot more knowledge when it comes to stuff like that than your average regular TV consumer. Gamers are going to always go for a TV that displays in higher quality, 4K, 8K, something like that, and a TV that has a high refresh rate. Most games are being produced at 60 frames a second, and there's talk now of coming out with games for competitive games mostly that go at 90 frames a second. So,
Excellent. So how many hours a day do you play games?
All right, now I've dramatically reduced that in probably about the past year, but I do 2 to 4 hours of gaming almost every single day for about 8 years now, constantly.
So do you have to keep doing it in order to sort of keep your touch?
With gaming, it's one of those things where if you do it a lot, you get muscle memory and you start to be able to play without thinking. So whenever a new game comes out, a lot of people will go out to a midnight release and try to be one of the first ones to get on the game, because the first people that are on the game are going to be the first ones to develop that muscle memory. And as new gamers get the game, it's really easy to whoop on them.
So you like being challenged and you like games that are challenging. Can you explain a little bit like that? How do you know what are challenging games?
Well, a challenging game can be different for different people. Some people like puzzle games. A lot of people are into shooters. I think the important thing about gaming is whatever makes you happy is what you're going to want to do. Now, some people, you know, they've taken over from puzzle games and they've gone to every type of game that's out there. I think it really just depends on what you like.
Well, what do you like?
Personally, I like shooters. I've always been a third-person shooter kind of guy, and the difference between that and a first-person shooter is going to be your first-person shooter, you're going to see a gun, and it's going to look like it's floating on your screen because you're going to be in the perspective of the person holding the gun. A third-person shooter allows you to see your character's entire body, and the reason I prefer that is because you can hide your body behind cover a lot easier than you can in a first-person shooter.
Do you think this gaming leads to more youthful violence and future gun abuse?
I've heard that argument before. I mean, I don't think I could say probably about as much as watching TV shows. I mean, gaming is really just a new outlet for people to share stories. A lot of games are becoming really character-driven, really story-driven, especially with the new generation. Game makers are trying to tell stories that you can't necessarily tell in a medium like movies. So it's really important for people to have that outlet. And as far as increasing that, I don't think it really contributes too much. I think, again, it's going to depend on the person, the kind of environment they're playing these games in, more than what the actual content is in the game.
Gotcha. Just society in general, more than just the game, which is obviously its own kind of skill program.
Exactly. And there's actually been some studies recently that has proven that people that play games on a regular basis have better problem-solving skills because they're using their brains more actively than the passive you know, the way you watch a TV, you just absorb that information. You don't do much thinking as to what you're actually seeing and how you're going to use that information in your daily life. But in a video game, you're processing this information in a different way. You're trying to overcome challenges that the game developers put in the game. And then sometimes they put things in the game that they want you to translate into your real life. So I think it's just a new, unique medium for people to share.
So I understand there are a number of names associated with gaming, like nicknames. What's your nickname?
They're called gamer tags, and it depends on what platform you're using, whether you're using a PlayStation, Xbox, or PC. But my gamer tag is Red Leaf. I've been Red Leaf online for about 9 years now, and it's kind of become my online identity across the entire digital space, even outside of gaming, when I have to create names for different, you know, services and stuff like that. It's just become an online identity in general.
There are also professional gamers. What's a professional gamer?
Professional gamer is someone who gets paid to game. Now, this is a phenomenon that has really been increased over the past couple of years by streaming services like Twitch. You have YouTube Gaming now. It recently came out, I think, last year. So it hasn't even been around that long. But what that has allowed people to do is people can now stream video games from the comfort of their home and allow other people to watch them. Now, these people can sometimes get hundreds of thousands of followers, even in the millions with some people. And that pushes them into basically a movie stardom. And there's game teams that will go recruit these very heavily viewed Twitch streamers. So there's tournaments for things like Call of Duty, League of Legends, that are offering the winners in the millions for prizes now. This is something that I never saw coming. I mean, if you would have told me 20 years ago that you could make money playing video games, I would have laughed at you. But as the technology developed and these new services came out, it became something that people want to watch. And it's really the younger generation. I think the average Twitch viewer is something like 17 years old. So these younger kids, not only do they like playing games, they like watching other people play games.
That's voyeurism to its highest level. How about virtual devices? Where do you see they come into this arena?
Virtual devices are changing so rapidly, it's almost impossible to keep up with. But right now, this is the year of VR. We are living in the year of virtual reality. Oculus Rift was purchased by Facebook, and it is now out with a consumer unit. It's a $600 virtual reality device. It's tethered, which means you have to have a very powerful PC to run it. But in addition to the Oculus, HTC has come out with a virtual reality device. Samsung came out with an untethered device, which isn't really a VR device. It's kind of a device that just warps your TV or your phone screen and makes it cuts off your peripheral vision and kind of puts you in that VR space. But VR and AR are going to be huge over the next 5 years. And the difference between the two is virtual reality wants to put the user completely in a virtual space. So they take you out of the real world and put you in that space, whereas augmented reality, it puts digital assets into your real world environment. So.
Excellent. Well, I got to tell you, Josh, you got to write a little book for people, because I think people need to get up to date, because if you're not in this world, you don't understand where you enter the portal. And people like you can make it simple for old people like me who need memory challenges. At any rate, I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for keeping your mind alert, whether you game or not. And all importantly, stay well.